Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny guy, the blessings are running up. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm half a glass of copper and over to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just too anointed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny and food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the north, and the devil can't touch that. Yes, you can't forget that. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me tonight. Truly, it is always a privilege to study the Word of God with you, and I'm glad that you have decided just to study the Word of God with me. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we are just truly thankful once again for this opportunity to bless your name, to break bread together, to study the Word of God, and just to get to know you a little bit better. Dear Lord, I just pray for family and friends all around the world, Lord, that are listening to the Word of God being preached. I thank you, Lord God, that you are strengthening them right now. I thank you that you are healing right now. I thank you that you are delivering right now. Dear Lord, you know the prayer requests of every person that listens to these messages. You know the lives that are being changed. You know the families that are being impacted. Lord, I pray for each and every one of them today. Lord, that you would continue to give them joy in their hearts. Lord, that you would continue to give them the boldness to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, Lord, we realize that we cannot make it without you. And I thank you, dear Lord, for each and every precious individual that listens to these messages. I pray, oh God, that you would continue to help them to give you praise and glory and honor in their personal lives and in their public lives. Lord, I thank you right now just for your healing power, for being our God, for being our King, for being our everything. I thank you, dear Lord, and I pray that you'll continue to bless and keep your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, once again, I'm so glad that you have joined me to study the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the fact that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm going to be reading to you from the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. I just want to remind you that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that even when you feel any type of weakness, which I hope you won't, but if you do, remember that you can always put your trust in God because He hears and He answers prayers. And so, dear friend, let us look at 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink off the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now the Bible refers to many days. So what exactly was many days? Let's look at chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. And the reason why we're looking at it right now is because I want you to understand how many days were actually the many days that was referred to in chapter 17. And so let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It says, And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And so we see that the many days that were referred to in chapter 17 actually came about to be about 3 years that God provided for this family. All right, and so let's look at the word of the Lord in chapter 17. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible tells us that Elijah the Tishbite, the prophet of God, that he was sent to Ahab to tell Ahab that it was not going to rain until God gave the word that it was going to rain again. Now, why would God do that? For us to understand why God would do that, we would have to look back again to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. It says, And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And so when we think in terms of God punishing someone, we have to think in terms of, okay, why would God do that? He is not just a God that sits on his throne saying, okay, all of my creation is evil and wicked. Let me just find a way to destroy them. No, that is not so, because there are some folks on the earth that are righteous, that are serving God and whose hearts are right. But then there are others who are very evil, who choose not to serve God, who choose not to live righteous lives. And Ahab, this king that reigned for 22 years over Israel, this particular king was very evil. And so God pretty much got tired of his evil behavior and sent the prophet Elijah to let him know that it was judgment day, you know, not judgment day as far as the final judgment that we're going to have after the great tribulation, but it was judgment day for Ahab, because he had been wicked before God. He had sinned against God. He had not listened. And so he was going to be punished. Let's read a little bit more. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, it says, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Etbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." Now, to understand this, you've got to go back and reflect upon the fact that God told the Israelites to have no other gods before him. And so when we think about the sin of Ahab, we think in terms of the fact that he totally disregarded the commandment of God to worship no other gods before him. Not only did he worship an idol, but he raised up an altar to this idol. And so this was an abomination before God. This was very, very bad. Anytime you put anything before God, any type of idol, and we know that in our modern society that there are some folks that still worship idols, but for most of society, their idol is now their house. Their idol is now their car. Their idol might be that significant other in their life. It might be someone who they're not married to, or it might even be someone who they're married to. The bottom line is that anytime you put anything before God, God is a jealous God. He does not want us to worship anyone else besides him, whether it's a thing, an inanimate object, or whether it's a person. God wants to get our full attention. He wants to be first in our lives. Now, it's okay to own material things. Of course, you know, it's okay to have a nice house or a nice car, but we must never, ever put these things in front of God. In other words, some people, they work 2, 3, 4 jobs, however they can fit it in, and they neglect to go to church, or they neglect worship, they neglect God. And when you talk to them, they said, "Well, you know, I've got to, you know, work all these jobs," not realizing that God is the one who gives them the strength to do that. And so if you were to work only a job and a half, God would help you to pay your bills. He would help you to budget so that you can pay your bills and still be able to take time out of your schedule to worship God, to go to church and to praise God and to give God his rightful place in your life and in your family. God wants to know that he is worshipped with all our hearts and all our minds. And unfortunately for Ahab, Ahab did not do that. Ahab decided to go after other gods, to worship other gods. And so here we are in 1 Kings chapter 17, that God sends his prophet Elijah to let him know that he was now in trouble because there was not going to be rain in the land until God said so. Now, I want you to think in terms of the impact of no rain. We depend on rain. Now, it doesn't matter how you feel about rain. You know, some folks like rain and some folks don't like rain. Some folks curl up with a good book when it's raining. Others, you know, have a snare on their face. Others, you know, they go to sleep when it rains. And others go out and play in the rain because they enjoy the rain so much. I don't know what your attitude is towards rain, but understand this, that we need rain. We need rain. And so when the prophet of God went to Ahab and told him that there was not going to be rain, the impact of that is that they would eventually face famine. They would eventually face lack of food because with no rain, the grass is not going to grow, the trees are not going to be healthy, the harvest die, and people are going to die. So understand that the lack of rain was going to have a great impact, not only on Ahab and his immediate household, but on all Israel. And so we find that whenever you are in a leadership position, you must remember that you have a flock that will be hurt if you don't do the right thing. Because the anointing flows from the head down. And so leaders must always be cognizant. They must always be aware that their behavior has great impact on the people that they serve. That is the reason why God encourages us. We are told, we are commanded to pray for those in authority over us. We are commanded to God to bless the nation that we're in. We want God to bless our leaders because as he blesses our leaders, then things in the country go well for us. We have to understand that we have to pray for those in authority over us. Ahab needed prayer. He was not interested in worshiping the true and the living God. He was not interested in doing the right thing. And so he brought calamity to the people that he was supposed to be serving because of the fact that his heart was not right with God. So when we come to 1 Kings 17 with Elisha bringing that type of news to Ahab, right after Elisha brought this word to Ahab, then God told him to go and hide himself. Why did Elisha need to hide himself? Well, he needed to hide himself because of the fact that Ahab was going to try to kill him. He was going to try to do bodily harm to him because how dare he come and proclaim this type of thing upon the land and upon the king. And so it was a known fact that he was going to try to do harm to the prophet of God. And so the prophet of God had to go and sit still and wait for God's next direction. I want you to understand this, dear friend, that when God gives you a task to do, when he gives you an assignment, you must do the assignment that God has given you, and you must not be afraid of the faces of the people. You must not be afraid of what's going to happen to you tomorrow or next year or the year after, because God is able to take care of those who are obedient to him. If you are obedient to the voice of God, God is able to meet your need. God is able to take care of you. Note that Elisha was not afraid to speak boldly to Ahab. Although he knew that there would be consequences for what he said, he listened to the voice of God and he was obedient. And so, dear friend, when God calls you, you must be obedient to the voice of God. And if you are obedient to the voice of God, then God will take care of you. God will meet every need that you have. I want you to know that when Elisha went and hid himself the way that God told him to, he had water to drink, and God sent ravens to feed him. Now, understand this, dear friend, that if God can do this for Elijah, he can do it for you. Because you truly are called by God. God has called you by your name. He has ordained it so that you should be blessed, that your family should be blessed. But first and foremost, in order to receive the blessing, you must first be obedient to the voice of God. When Elisha was obedient to God, God made sure that his needs were met. Amen. I just give God praise right there. When you are obedient, God makes sure that your needs are met. Dear friend, are you being obedient to God? Are you following his direction? Are you listening to his voice? Are you allowing him to direct your every step? Because I want you to know, dear friend, that God does want to direct your every step. He wants to be Lord of your life. And so we see that Elisha went down near Cherith, by the brook Cherith, that is just before the Jordan River. The Bible says in verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, imagine that. God gave bread and meat to the ravens to bring to Elijah. It doesn't say where it appeared from. It doesn't say where they got it. All we know is that God gave it to them and said, here, bring it to. Now, dear friend, don't you understand that if God can feed Elijah, he could feed you and he could feed your family? Don't you understand that if God can take care of this man for many, many days, that God can do the same for you? Now, remember I said that there was a great impact that was going to happen to the land because there was no water, because there was no rain. And so Elijah stayed by that brook as long as he could, but then it dried up. There was no rain. Remember, no rain, that means that the great lakes and rivers are not being fed, and so the smaller little brooks are not being fed. And so there was no water. After that, the Lord told him to go someplace else. Now, I want you to know that when you are in a place, dear friend, and it doesn't seem as if there's any growth, there is no prosperity going on. In other words, you cannot prosper in stagnation. You cannot grow in stagnation. There comes a time in your life when you're going to have to move out from the place where you are, and you're going to have to seek God more. You're going to have to pray more. You're going to have to study more. You're going to have to ask God to really direct you. You see, it was time for Elijah to move from where he was and to go someplace else so that God can continue to sustain him. So when you find yourself, dear friend, in a place where you are not growing, where you are not getting fed the way that you need to get fed, then it's time to move out. Don't stay in a place of famine, dear friend. Don't stay in a place of drought. If there is drought in your life right now, you need to seek God more. If there's drought in your heart right now, then you need to spend more time in prayer so that God can speak to you, so that he can revive your heart, so that he can revive your mind, because the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be blessed. Even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of famine in the land around you, understand that there does not need to be famine in your heart. There does not need to be famine in your life just because there's famine in the land. Notice that the brook had dried up, but that God had something already prepared for Elijah. So understand this, dear friend, that even when something happens where one door closes, God always has another door open for you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be stressed out. Understand that God is always going to provide for you. Oh, come on and give God praise right there. Hallelujah. We take a moment, Lord, and we just bless you. We honor you right now. We give you glory, Jesus. And so we see in the Bible where the Lord tells Elijah in verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And then the Bible says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. Now listen, dear friend, we know the story on the side of Elijah, but we don't know the story about the widow woman. We don't know how long this widow was praying and asking God for help. So we know that God could have left Elijah where he was and provided for him. But this widow woman, she needed help too. And God sent Elijah just in time to help this widow woman. Because he approaches her, he asks her for some water, and then he says, oh, by the way, bring me a morsel of bread also. So in other words, he says, listen, bring me something to drink, and also I need some bread. I need something to eat along with the water. Now, imagine if you were this widow woman and you had already decided in your mind that you were going to eat this little piece of bread, drink this little water, you're going to make a meal, a small meal for you and your son. Then comes the prophet of God and says to you, this is what he needs you to do. And so the woman responds to him in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This widow woman was at her last. She was down to the last little bit of meal that she had to make her bread. She was down to the last little bit of water that she had to sustain herself and her son. It was her prayer request for God to help her. Although the Bible does not record it, but imagine this, that in her heart, she was praying for God to send her help. I want you to know, dear friend, that as you pray and ask God for help, that help is already on the way. When you seek God, when you seek his face, and you let him know how much you love him, how much you care about him, I want you to know that he hears the very cry of your heart. He hears the very prayer request that is whispered deep in the innermost parts of your heart. God hears you, and he does answer prayer. And so we see, dear friend, that the widow woman did as Elijah asked her. And then Elijah, in turn, made a promise to her. Now, this is what I want you to understand. Obedience comes first. Obedience comes first. Note with Elijah, he obeyed God. God took care of him. Note with this widow woman, Elijah says to her, go fix me something to eat, get me something to drink, even before you feed yourself, even before you feed your son, feed me first. This woman was obedient to the prophet of God. And then I want you to note that he says, in verse 14, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send it rain upon the earth. So what does that mean? That means that she is not going to run out of food and drink or oil or anything else until God sends rain again. Now, isn't that an awesome promise of God? That when we are obedient to him, our well will never run dry. Our basket will always be overflowing. Now, we know that this promise was made to this particular widow woman, but Let me ask you, friend, is this widow woman better than you? Is God partial just to widows? Or is God a God who loves us all, who is fair, who is impartial? Now, I want you to understand this, dear friend, that he is. He is an impartial God. He does not show partiality to anyone. What he did for this widow woman, dear friend, he is able to do it for you. If you will obey the voice of God and serve him, give him your heart, give him your life, do ministry for him, preach and teach and tell others about Jesus, visit those who are sick, encourage them, strengthen them, visit those who are incarcerated, encourage them, strengthen them. Dear friend, I want you to know that if you will do what God is calling you to do first and foremost, that all your other needs will be met. God is going to make sure that you have food to eat. He's going to make sure you have a place to live. He's going to make sure that you have clothing. He's going to make sure that your bills are paid. Dear friend, do what God is calling you to do. Step out in faith and do what God is calling you to do, and you will see that everything that you have need of, God has already provided for you. All you need to do is just wait and see what God is able to do. Look at verse 15. I'm still in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. It says, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Dear friend, I want you to pay careful attention to that. She went and did. She went and she did. So in other words, she listened first, then she got up and took action. Now, nothing happens, dear friend, until you get up and do something. You've got to get up and do what God tells you to do. You've got to be in obedience. And so I'm not preaching a message of, well, if you don't do anything, God is not going to bless you, or et cetera, et cetera. Listen carefully, dear friend, to what I'm saying. When God speaks to us, he wants us to respond. If he tells you to give your heart to Jesus, respond by saying, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me." If he tells you to get up and go preach the gospel, get up, go and plug into a local church, be obedient to that pastor, and let him know that you feel called to preach the gospel, and that pastor will work with you to help you to get into the ministry. Dear friend, if you feel led to start your own missionary work, start with a Bible study at a library or at a school or in your living room. Do what God is telling you to do. If he tells you to go to the hospital or to the nursing home or to the prisons, wherever he tells you to go, dear friend, go. Do what God is telling you to do. You must be obedient to the voice of God. The Bible tells us that when she went and did according to what Elijah had said, in verse 15, "And she and he and her house did eat many days." So when she listened and did, then they did not run out of food for many days. And then we looked at chapter 18, verse 1, and we realized that many days meant for 3 years. How in the world did her little meal, cornmeal, or whatever it was, last for 3 years? Her little thing of oil ran for 3 years. So, come on now. That means that God did a miracle. God is still a miracle-working God. God is still in the miracle-working business. God can make sure that you're never without. He can make sure that you always have money in your pocket to feed your children. He can make sure that whatever you need, hallelujah, that your supply will never run out. You'll always have. Dear friend, trust God. Believe God. Remember to exercise your faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God wants you to exercise your faith. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to trust him. You put your trust in doctors. You put your trust in friends. But what about putting your trust in God Almighty? What about putting your trust in him who made you? What about putting your trust in Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending? What about putting your trust in Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi? Why not put your trust in the God who is more than enough? Dear friend, God wants you to trust him today. He wants you to take action today. He wants you to stop being a complacent Christian that sits on your couch all day and watches TV, and some folks are even sitting around watching soap operas all day. God doesn't want you to do that. It's okay to be entertained sometime, but understand this, dear friend, that first and foremost, you must be about kingdom business. Kingdom business. Souls need to be saved. Lives need to be transformed. And he is depending on you. He is depending on me to go out and to do it. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to put your trust in God. He cares for you. He cares for your family. He cares for your children. He cares for your loved ones. And dear friend, he also cares for those who are lost and dying. Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, those who are still yet unregenerated. These are very, very precious people to God. And if you have not already commit yourself to the Lord right now. If you have not already committed yourself to some type of ministry, commit yourself to some type of ministry right now. Ask God to direct you and to tell you what you need to do. Hallelujah. Dear friend, God is calling each and every one of us to do the work that is already set forth before us. Don't sit around wasting time, dear friend, but get up. Get up and do what God is calling you to do. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want you to understand that God wants you to seek him with all your heart and all your soul. One of the people that I love to read about, and I don't know if you're familiar with her, dear friend, is Maria Woodworth Ether. Maria Woodworth Ether. She lived at the turn of the century in the early 1900s, and she was a great evangelist. I don't know if you've heard of Mrs. Ether, but she was a great evangelist. And when you read her book, A Diary of Signs and Wonders, you see that God used her miraculously to preach and to teach. And let me just read a page from her book. Where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18. This fact has been proven all through the Bible. When the people of God were true and faithful, the Lord made known his presence by visible signs and revealed himself and many things to them in visions. Then they always prospered in every way, and the fear of God fell upon the heathen nations, and they fled before them and cried out, there is no God like the God of Israel, and God's cause was glorified in the earth. But when they were backsliders and disobedient, God hid his face. There were no visions, and the people perished in every way. They went on from one sin to another, substituting form and solemn feast and the outward and offering polluted sacrifices, and trusting to human wisdom and works instead of the power and Spirit of God. Then he took away his Spirit and visions and signs of his presence. They were left in darkness over 300 years till Christ came, and then they did know him. They did not know him. They crucified the Lord of glory and turned loose a murderer and helpless woman on helpless women and children. Nearly the whole Jewish nation perished. All this happened because they would not be led of the Spirit of God. When the new and living way was ushered in, the Lord gave many visions to show that Christ had come, that the Son of God was on earth, that no one need perish, but whosoever would be born of the Spirit, Christ would come and dwell in them, and abide with them forever, and manifest and reveal himself to them through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would glorify him by revealing the things of God to us, and by showing us things to come. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was seen, heard, and felt, thousands were brought into the spiritual kingdom of God. Peter stood up in a blaze of the Holy Ghost's power and glory and said, when God poured out his Spirit on his sons and daughters, they would see visions and dreams and prophesy. He told them that these signs would be sure to follow the outpouring of the Spirit. The Lord said to Miriam, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak to him in dreams. Moses said, would to God all the Lord's people were prophets and all would prophesy. Peter says, we will all prophesy when we have the Spirit of God, and visions is one of the signs that we have the Spirit. The Lord says, if we are prophets, he will make himself known to us in visions. The heathen or Gentiles were perishing. They knew nothing of the religion of Jesus. God used two visions to bring about a great revival, where the whole congregation was converted and filled with the glory of God. This was the first Holy Ghost revival among the heathen. It was a sample of all that was to follow. When the people saw the visible signs of the presence of God in their midst, and he revealed himself to them, everyone felt they were in the presence of God, and sinners came rushing to the loving arms of Christ and were saved by the awful doom that awaits the unsaved. And of course, we know Mrs. Ether is referring to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when you get a chance to read it, Acts chapter 2. So we know that in these last days, the masses of so-called religious teachers belong to the class, Paul said, who have a form of godliness but deny the power. From such turn away. They will not endure sound doctrine, will turn the people away from the truth. These false teachers are in a worse condition than the Jews were. They are sinning against much greater light. They are willingly blind and are teaching their followers to hide behind a refuge of lies, trust into doctrines and traditions of men. In vain do they worship me, saith the Lord. We might say that they did not need these visions in the revival at Corinth. Why did not the Lord call all the apostles and the thousands of holy men and women who were filled with the Holy Ghost together and let them do the work? No, he was going to show them and us that it is not by human power, wisdom, or a great multitude, but by his power and Spirit that the people must be saved. Dear friend, I want you to understand that it's by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do the great works that we do. God is calling you to be a great man of God. God is calling you to be a great woman of God. The joy of the Lord is truly our strength, and God wants to be your strength. But do not follow after foolish people, but be filled with the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, as told to us in Acts chapter 2. Realize this, that God has great things in store for you, and all he wants is to know that you truly love him, that you truly have put your trust in him, and I want you to know that God is going to work miraculous things for you. The joy of the Lord truly is our strength. I want you to continue to put your trust in him, because he truly will have mercy on those who have put their trust in him. Dear friend, bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I magnify your holy name, O God. I thank you, Lord God, for all those who have studied with me today. I pray, O God, that you would truly open up their understanding. Lord God, you know every prayer request. You know every single person, oh God, that listens to these messages. Touch right now, Lord. Hey, shamama mo shidididiba. Shadololobo shidididibo shadololobo sha. Bless your people right now, God. Bless over in the African nations right now. Bless in the Caribbean right now. Bless in Europe right now. Central America, Asia, Japan, China, Lord God, Australia, Italy, oh God. Father, oh God, you know the desires of your people heart, oh God, to serve you. Oh God, I pray for those even in Antarctica and different places, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Oh, keep them, Lord, for mesa tina no no mo si te ke ta mo sa to ko se. Eta no no si ne na no no mo mo si ha. Ne na no no na ni na mo wa no no. Che ne no 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 ma wa ni no no wa ya no no mo. E no 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 ma si ne no no mo mo ma. San no no ni na no no ai ma. Ni na no no ai no ma ai re. E no no ai re da bo ya ri. No ni na no ni ga no no mo. Ni da o ni da no no. Sha no ai ya ai le ma. Ne ya no wa ma ni ma no mo wa ye. Ye ha wo ni ya ni ya o mo ye ro. To no no ma ye sha no no mo ya. Sha no no mo shi ye ke ta. I bless your name. I praise you. I give you glory, O God. Pray for that one that is sick right now, Lord. Heal their bodies of tumors right now in the name of Jesus. May they dry up all over their body from their head down to their feet. I rebuke those tumors right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that high blood pressure right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke diabetes right now in the name of Jesus. And sickle cell anemia, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Masatoko shekita, I rebuke that mental health problem right now, the schizoaffective and schizophrenia, all of those, God, I rebuke it and bind it up in the name of Jesus. May they be set free right now. Yeah, I plead the blood of Jesus over your people right now. Oh, God, you know every prayer request right now. I pray, God, you'll give that man boldness to preach the gospel. Give that woman boldness to preach the gospel. Give that young person boldness to preach the gospel right now. Oh, God, may their songs be sung all over the world. And may they be blessed, oh, God, as they publish and make CDs and songs of righteousness, oh God, going out to the people. We bless your holy name right now. We thank you for your righteous and your holy, oh God. You never leave us nor forsake us, oh God. And we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Holiness belongeth unto you, O God. Teach your people how to be holy. Teach your people how to be righteous right now, God. And Father, we shall forever give you glory, honor, and praise. We shall forever bless your name right now. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Jesus. Neki ya mo sha tu she kita she. Ya to the alina mo ni na 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 mo. Ina na na o no she kita. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord. And I say thanks to you once again, Father, for blessing your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for studying with me. Our closing thoughts for today are persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. And there is no such thing as can. And our closing scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear friend, I want to encourage you today to put your trust in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. God gives you joy. He gives you intense emotion. He gives you strength. And the word strength means that God puts up an impenetrable just covering around you to make sure that the enemy cannot overtake you. He cannot do anything to you. And so I want you to be encouraged and understand this, that God loves you. He cares about you. Listen now to Praise Him by Patrick Shinyosi out of Kenya, Africa. Praise Him by Patrick Shinyosi out of Kenya, Africa.
Na 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 na. Thank you.
because I am proud to be one. I believe he died for my sin. That's why I am saved, and I'm relieved from the very wild of sin. I traveled to the body and I've been made easy. Hey, to lift up your head, to lift up your voice, I'm telling you what I think. Because if you are, you make the sun stand up and pray. It's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now, praise him. No matter what I say, no matter what I play, it's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now, in the house of the Lord we gonna worship him. It's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now, praise him. No matter what I say, no matter what I blame, it's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now. Because I never knew that the Lord is my savior. Thank you, God, that I am a survivor from all the wicked ways and the plans of destruction. And because of that, I have discovered God, and I've been covered with His love forever. Now we never look back, cause He's my protector. Thank you, God. Hey, now I'm a Christian. No matter what I say, it's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now, praise him. No matter what I say, no matter what I play, it's all gonna be the same. No matter what he says, although we make mistakes now.
Doesn't matter what you're going through, remember to give God praise. You can tell the world about this. You can tell the world about that. Tell them that Jesus says.
He set my spirit free. I feel like running.
Lord. You've been listening to Evangelist Faith 3. The show is called Vision. Join us each week for the study of God's Word, featuring teaching, prayer, and also Caribbean gospel music. We're closing our show with our theme song by Second Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Too Blessed to Be Stressed.
Let's say summer we're blessed till we're full. Me and Granny God say blessings are running down.
May God bless you. May the peace of God be with you and your family.
Too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm